Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock on Tuesday, on Wednesday, the 28th of March, the year 2012, here on a June afternoon on KTUO News in Juneau. Today on a June afternoon, we'll talk with family entertainer Kevin Roth, performing next week at the Downtown and Valley Libraries. Kelly Manning will be highlighting the upcoming classes at the campus. Beth Weigel will talk about a healthier Juneau. We'll talk with Angela Gowdy from Motoract about this Friday's Chili Fest, and we'll also learn about this week at Eagle Crest. At Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain, low temperatures around 36 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain and high temperatures around 45 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A financial firm on the Crow Creek Reservation is claiming several success stories for its clients. Hunkpati Investments provides loans for startup businesses to serve tribal members. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
The nonprofit Hunkpati Investments was started 2 years ago with funds from an Iowa philanthropist. Executive Director Crystal Langholtz says her organization provides a place for tribal members to go when they have a business idea.
We try to keep ourselves very competitive. You know, since a lot of our loans are more to individuals who might be at more risk with credit, aren't what a bank would normally do. We're looking more at character than perhaps a bank would. With a bank, it's more about the longstanding history and financial success of the business when you do a loan. Whereas what we're mostly funding is startups.
Langholtz says one of Hunkpati's first clients, a home repair business, has grown to the point of hiring employees. She says the firm also provides funds for business expansion, along with credit counseling and instructions on saving money. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
Native American inmates in South Dakota are challenging a tobacco ban. According to the Associated Press, an attorney went before a federal judge Tuesday saying tobacco has a long-standing tradition among Lakota people and it should not be banned from religious ceremonies. Two inmates, Blaine Bringsplenty and Clayton Creek, filed a lawsuit in 2009 against South Dakota's prison warden, corrections secretary, and attorney general. The attorney for the officials says tobacco use during ceremonies was becoming increasingly abused. There has been a court-approved pause placed on the federal lawsuit filed by two tribes over who owns the water in southeast Oklahoma. As KGOU's Kirk Wartney reports, attorneys asked for the 60-day stay Tuesday to allow more time for mediation.
A statement from the leaders of the Choctaw and Chickasaw Nations indicated the stay could mark a positive turn in efforts to settle the dispute out of court. The two tribes sued the state of Oklahoma and Oklahoma City last summer, claiming treaties from the 1800s give them control over surface water in their historic areas in southeast Oklahoma. Lawyers representing both sides in the case say the 60-day stay would be helpful to the mediation process. The federal judge hearing the case has said he wants a speedy resolution to the dispute. Similar water rights lawsuits between tribes and state and local governments have taken decades to resolve. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
Actor Adam Beach will speak to youth on the Red Lake Reservation in Minnesota. The native actor from Canada has appeared in many television and film roles, including the recent blockbuster movie Cowboys and Aliens. His keynote address is taking place today at the Red Lake Youth Leadership Conference. He's expected to speak on alcohol and drugs. According to Red Lake Public Relations, Beach was raised on a reserve with his family, where his mother was killed by a drunk driver, and his alcoholic father drowned weeks after her death. Beach and his brothers later went to live with family in Winnipeg, where he joined drama classes and began acting in local theater productions. On this day in 1953, Olympic champion and great all-around athlete Jim Thorpe passed away. The Sac and Fox man was acclaimed by his peers and a king as the world's greatest athlete of his time. Besides excelling in track and field, he also played professional baseball and football. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Support for National Native News comes from the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIT, CLIP, GIVE when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Kevin Roth from Scottsdale, Arizona, presently is on the road. He's going to be performing at the Downtown and Valley Libraries here on Friday, April 6th and Saturday, April 7th. He's on the phone with us right now. Kevin, thank you very much for being on the air with us today.
Oh, it's great to be on.
So you're a nationally recognized dulcimer player and also a children's entertainer and a family entertainer as well. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, please?
Well, I have, you know, about 12 records on Folkways Records, which are now part of the Smithsonian Institute, and they were made when I was about 16 to 26 years of age. There are 12 of them. You can still get them online if you go on to Folkways Smithsonian. And then I became known as a dulcimer player during that time, and then I started to write children's music and sang on PBS's Shining Time Station based on Thomas the Tank Engine, and had numerous recordings which won American Library Association awards, and that was very exciting, as well as singing the theme to the hit show Shining Time Station. And now I've just recently come out with 3 books called The Adventures of Wabby Wabbit, and all of this can be found on the website myquiettimes.com. So I'll be bringing my auto harp and my stories and my songs for children, and also some folk music of Peter, Paul, and Mary, Joni Mitchell, and some of my original along with traditional. And it'll be my first time bringing the dulcimer and the auto harp and my voice to Alaska.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you here at the Downtown and Valley Libraries in April. How did you discover the dulcimer?
I saw one at a party when I was a youngster, and I just fell in love with the sound and the look of it. And I got one shortly thereafter, and the rest is history, as they say.
I understand you were a child prodigy on piano at first.
Yeah, I was born with a, a sort of a God-given gift for music and art and cooking. So I just sort of followed my heart, and it turned out, so far, so good.
What prompted the move from champion player to a family entertainer?
Well, I didn't really so much wasn't a move as it was an addition. There was just a need for good children's music, and there weren't a lot of people doing it at the time, so I was one of the, not one of the early pioneers, but one of the people who were up there with Raffi and Barney and Peter, Paul, and Mommy Records, and I began to sing in major concert halls all over the country, and my music was played all over the world, and it just sort of happened, as fate would be it. But I always do a combination of children's and adult music whenever I'm on tour. I'm currently on tour in Arizona for these 2 weeks before I head up to Alaska. And then in June, I go to New Mexico and Colorado and then New Orleans and then Montana, believe it or not.
For people who aren't familiar with the dulcimer, could you educate us, please?
Well, the dulcimer is a 4-string or 5-6-string instrument, and you play it on your lap and you strum it or you pick it. It usually has sound holes in the shape of hearts. It's very easy to play. As a matter of fact, I'll be bringing a dulcimer up with me. I always travel with one that I sell at my concerts, because wherever I go, people want to know, where can I get one? And, of course, you can get them online, but I always have them custom-made for me. and then I sell it wherever I go on tour. So far, I'm planning to bring it up to Alaska unless someone buys it here in Arizona. But my gut tells me that it's going to end up having a home in Alaska.
Tell me about Stargazer Productions and how that got started.
Well, that's my record company and production company, and I used to live on a road called Stargazer. So that became the parent company for all my records and my concerts and my books. And My Quiet Times is a new company, about 2-3 years old, which really is about lullabies and the Wabby Wabbit books and music series.
Tell me more about Wabby Wabbit, please.
Well, Wabby is a little rabbit, and he has a patch of white fur on the side of his head in the shape of a heart. And whenever he needs to know an answer, he rubs his heart. And then with love and wisdom, he hears the answer in the form of a song. And I'll be reading one of the stories during the show, and of course I'll be autographing the books and CDs at the shows. But it teaches children as well as adults about the inner voice that we all have that we should follow. Some call it conscience, some call it a higher power. But it leads kids into the direction of really kind of looking at their life and making decisions which are good for their head, both mentally and emotionally.
A lot of family entertainers like to rev kids up, but you specialize more in quiet time music. You want to describe your feelings about that?
Yeah, I'm not the kind that gets them jumping on their feet. There are plenty of people who do that. I'm more of a storyteller and a songwriter, and the kind of music I sing, parents can listen to as well. And as a matter of fact, there are a lot of parents that buy my kids' stuff who listen to it when the kids aren't around. I don't sing down to children. I try and follow the philosophy of my mentors and friends, Peter, Paul, and Mary, and other people who sing really good quality music about good quality living. And I don't get them excited. I'd rather them sing with me and participate with conversation than jump up and down. That's just not what I do.
What to you is the magic of performing for families and kids?
What's the magic of it?
For you personally.
It's always great when people love your books. A lot of people have my Wabby books. They've checked them out of the libraries, and they're familiar with it. So when I read one of the Wabby books, they get excited. Teaching them a new song that they know, basically seeing the look in their eyes when I'm singing and how much the parents enjoy it as much as the adults. I think that's the magic, whenever you can communicate and connect with an audience.
I'm talking with Kevin Roth, who will be performing Friday, April 6th at 6:30 at the Downtown Library, and also Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Valley Library here in beautiful Juneau, Alaska. Kevin, thank you so much for being on the air with us today. What are you going to be bringing to Juneau besides your dulcimer, your auto harp, and your captivating style?
My enthusiasm for being in Alaska for the very first time in my life. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to Sitka after there and then back to Florida. So I have my coat. Right now it's 83 degrees here in Arizona, so I'm expecting it to be just a tad cooler there.
Just a little bit. Kevin, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. See you soon.
It's over the rainbow. sunshine through. I'm gonna go where the sun's always shining. There's a magic song I love to sing. I learn the words from the singing dragon who takes you there on musical wings. Oh, sing to me, oh, musical dragon. Sing to me a song I know. One that makes you feel good all over, from deep in your heart down to your toes. So, if you feel sad or even lonely, sing and dragon a song for you. It's a song of love that makes you feel happy. When you sing it with others, they feel good too. I'm gonna go where the sun's always shining. There's a magic song I love to sing. I learn the words from the singing dragon who takes you there on a musical wing. I'm gonna go where the sun's always shining. There's a magic song I love to sing. I learn the words from the singing dragon who takes you there.
Kevin Roth will be appearing at the Downtown Library on Friday, April 6th at 6:30, and also on Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Valley Library, captivating entertainer for families and kids of all ages. In the studio with us now is Kendra Schwach and Ruth Simpson here to talk about our upcoming classes at the campus. Thank you very much for being in the studio today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
First of all, Kendra, could you just describe what the campus is for people who don't know?
Well, the Canvas is a community art studio that serves both people with disabilities and dayhab services, and also offers community classes and events for anyone interested in coming, all ages and all ability levels.
And you've got a whole slew of events and classes coming up. You want to describe some of them, please?
Sure. We have a lot of stuff happening this coming April. We have drawing and painting classes. We have some more craft-like classes for felt making and glass. And we have a lot of pottery happening this month as well.
We also have a special event on April Fool's. Jeff, you're more than welcome to come up and do your wonderful entertainment as well. We are encouraging people to dress foolishly, and the hours will be, well, let me see, 11 to 1. We'll be doing gesture puppets. It's a family event. We encourage everyone to come and have fun on April Fools.
Do you want to go into detail about those classes, some of those classes, please?
Sure, yeah. Our drawing classes this month are Chris Taylor. He's going to be offering a class in chiaroscuro. And if you're not familiar with this fancy Italian term, it just means contrast and light and shadow. So he's going to be teaching people about how to use light and shadow to really flesh out a volume of something that they're drawing. And we also have a special workshop, which is a long pose drawing and painting. That's a 5 or 6 hour pose. That's going to be Phoebe, who's a regular potter in our studio, who's going to be posing for that. And that is happening on Sunday, April 29th, if you're interested in that one. It's pretty rare to get a model to sit for 5 hours in one stint. So you can really delve in deeply into what you're doing.
Okay.
And have someone sitting there. We also have Avril Valise is going to be doing some classes this April. She's going to be offering costumed figure drawing. So someone's going to dress up and some outrageous costumes that she has, and she's going to teach us how to really make a character come to life in a costume.
How fun.
Yeah, she will be fun.
Other classes?
Ruth, you want to tell us about glass and fiber?
Sure. Joel Abbott will be leading a stained glass window class on Thursdays. It'll start April 19th and go through May 31st. That's an evening class, 5:30 to 8:30. We're also going to do fairy houses. It's a three-week class. Louise is going to teach that. And fairy houses / bird houses. But that should be a lot of fun. Kendra mentioned the felted wool class. Everyone seems to love that craft. Everyone from adults to children, and everyone's welcome. We have a regular ballroom dance class on Tuesdays between 6 and 8, and that's going really well, and we encourage new people to show up at any time.
Tell me more about the April Fool's Day event.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'll be Sunday. We're going to do gesture puppets. We'll be doing sculpey heads and fabric bodies and possibly a little puppet show, I imagine, at the end of the day. Dress foolishly, tell a joke, best jokes, win prizes, best costumes, win prizes. So it should be a great family event.
Yeah. What age are you specifying it for?
I'm sorry.
What age range?
Oh, that's a family event, any age.
All
Everyone's
ages.
Welcome.
Is there a cost?
No, not for that one.
And what are the hours?
From 11 to 1, we'll be making puppets, and then the April Fool's Day party happens from 1 to 2, so even if you don't want to make something, you can come dressed and tell a joke and have an audience, and we'll see who tells the best April Fool's joke.
All right.
Should be a lot of fun.
And Ruth, you have anything to add that I might have forgotten to ask?
Yes, there is. We do have one other really fun thing that's going to be happening in early April. Nicole Bauberger is coming back for a return stint in the gallery. Her show this month is called Scavengers. She has a series of encaustic paintings about ravens and personality of ravens. They're really fun. You can go online and look up some of the ones that she has, www.nicolebauberger.com. And she's also going to be doing an installation up at the 3rd and Seward Street Park. There's a little park there with a chessboard. And she's going to be doing see-through dresses. She makes these clear dresses out of saran wrap and packing tape. And she is looking for people who want to serve as dress forms. So if you come in on April 9th, 10th, or 11th between noon and 2, she will use you as a dress form, build a see-through dress, and then that'll get installed up in the park on April 12th for a few days. So that'll be really fun.
Is there a phone number or website you want to direct people to?
Sure. The Canvas phone number is 586-1750. It's 1750. And our website is www.canvasarts.org. And you can see our full list of classes on the website as well.
And Ken Schmack and Ruth Simpson, thank you for coming down to the station today and talking about the classes at the campus.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 28th of March, 2012. It's the birthday of Nelson Algren, 1909, Detroit. He grew up in Chicago's immigrant neighborhoods, wrote his first story, So Help Me, during the Great Depression, while he was working at a gas station in Texas. Nelson Algren was caught stealing a typewriter, spent 5 months in jail, and after that his work was about the down and out, the loser, the reject. He became known as a writer of Chicago, Algren, who said, if a writer could write the truth about one Chicago street, that would be a good life's work. A Walk on the Wild Side, set in the world of pimps and prostitutes in New Orleans. It was in that book that Algren gave his famous three rules for life. Never play cards with a man called Doc. Never eat at a place called Mom's. Never sleep with a woman whose troubles are worse than your own. Nelson Algren said, a certain ruthlessness and a sense of alienation from society is as essential to creative writing as it is to armed robbery. It's the birthday of Mario Vargas Llosa, born in Arequipa in southern Peru, 1936, went to a military academy in Lima, which he hated, and which inspired his first novel, The Time of the Hero. He ran for the presidency of Peru in 1990 against Alberto Fujimori. He lost. Llosa subsequently renounced politics. He said literature and politics are mutually exclusive. A writer is someone who works alone, who needs total independence. A politician is someone who is totally dependent, who has to make all kinds of concessions, the very thing a writer can't do. His latest book, The Dream of the Celt, published in Spanish 2 years ago, English translation will be published later this year. It's the birthday of Russell Banks, Newton, Massachusetts, 1940, whose latest novel is Lost Memory of Skin, inspired by an encampment of sex offenders living under a causeway near Banks's Miami high-rise apartment. It was on this day, 1941, Virginia Woolf committed suicide by drowning. A lively, witty, productive, creative person whose life was overshadowed by her death, wrote three of her best books in the space of just a few years in the 1920s, Mrs. Dalloway, To the Lighthouse, and Orlando. And it's the birthday of Iris Chang, born Princeton, New Jersey, 1968, a hard-working nonfiction writer, wrote books about the Nanking Massacre, the history of the Chinese in America, and the Bataan Death March, which was the book she was working on when she had a nervous breakdown, stopped taking her medications because they made her groggy, unable to work, and committed suicide not far from her home in San Jose, California, in 2004. Here's a poem for today by Faith Sheeran, Places I Have Heard the Ocean. In a cat's throat, in a shell I hold to my ear, though I'm told this is the sound of my own blood. I have heard the ocean in the city, cars against the beach of our street, or in the subway, waiting for a train that carries me like a current. In my bed, place of high and low tide, or in my daughter's skates, rolling over the sidewalk. Ocean in the trees when they fill their heads with wind, ocean in the rise and fall, lungs of everyone I love. Places I Have Heard the Ocean by Faith Sheeran from Moving the Piano, published by Stephen F. Austin University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
When you think of great atmosphere in Juneau, nothing tops the Baranoff Hotel. For great music, Juneau Lyric Opera comes to mind. Combine these two and you have JLO's Spring Gala fundraiser called Fly Away. Friday, March 30th at the Baranoff will be a glamorous evening of food, wine, musical performances by some of Juneau's best singers, and an auction featuring travel packages, a catered dinner party, and great gift certificates. Purchase your tickets at Hearthside Books, Rainier Treat Books, or online at JuneauOpera.org.
It's time for spring cleaning, time to go through your drawers and closets to pass along those LPs you've forgotten how to play, CDs you've transferred to your hard drive, and movies you've seen one too many times. Yes, it's time for the semi-annual K3 Radio Used Media Sale, scheduled for Saturday, March 31st at the KTOO building from 9 to noon. It's a chance to cleanse your surroundings and help public broadcasting at the same time. For more information, call Jeff Brown at 463-6425.
Time is 3:28, and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guests are Ellen Daly and also Beth Weigel to talk about Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, or MAP. Beth and Ellen, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks.
So what's it all about besides a cool acronym?
Well, it's actually a coalition that we formed with a lot of different agencies. We'll tell you a little bit about who might be involved in that and how other people can become involved. But it's called the Partnership for a Healthier Juneau. And we're really interested in involving the whole community as we move through this process that's called MAP, or Mobilizing for Action Through Partnership and Planning, to envision and come up with strategies to have a healthier Juneau.
Maybe using some tools.
You want to talk a little bit about the MAP tool?
Yeah, this started back in July of 10, and the process involves several steps. One is the community themes and strengths assessment, and that's been completed, and we have a list put together of good things in Juneau and things that need work on. Then there's the what's currently going on now is the local public health system assessment, and a group of people are getting together for that. Their next meeting is April 5th, and certainly if anybody is interested, they can call Juneau Public Health. The other phases of MAP are a community health status assessment, a focus of change assessment, and the whole process keeps going around like a circle. It's kind of a never-done process, and it just it's continually being worked on.
Right. So it's a way in which for our community and the members of our community, organizations in our community, to continue a conversation about how can we become the healthiest community that we possibly can. And during, for example, one of our assessments, the community themes and strengths that Ellen just mentioned, we identified through a conversation with a variety of different partners some of our community-based strengths, things like we have a community that loves to volunteer. We have a community that's got great nature and environment. Of course, that's what why I became involved in this, because that's a part that Discovery Southeast brings to this coalition. We have lots of great access to health and social services with active voters, and there's a list of other things. But then, again, like she mentioned, we also identified some of the needs and challenges and areas where we can grow in our community, and how to put together a plan to do that is going to be the first outcome of this process that we've been working on. And then, again, we'll keep revisiting that through this process. So, you know, some of the things that we identified that might need some, you know, opportunity for growth or work on things like some of the youth activities. Like, for example, there's a middle school after school coalition put together, and you know, we're going to work on how can we come up with more youth activities for middle school kids after school. Equal pay for equal work, something like that, or the high school graduation rate, or some of the other health factors that public health might be monitoring, like sexually transmitted diseases or other things that public health does.
Right, and I think it's important to know that public health is an important part, but it's limited in what we can do. There's so many partners out in the community that can be involved in having a healthy community, healthy neighborhoods, kinds of things, roads, safety issues. And so it's not just the public health department in Juneau planning for preparedness for disasters. Those kinds of things are all important. One of the things I wanted to share is last March there was a visioning meeting with a group of people from Juneau. There were about 50 people there, and I am looking for the vision statement. Looking for the vision statement.
The vision statement that the group came up with was that Juneau is a thriving community engaging a diverse and intergenerational population and ensuring access to an exceptional quality of life. So that was our vision when we started. And, you know, this process that we've been moving through, it's really an important part of that to gain a vision that everyone subscribes to, and then the coalition becomes stronger through that vision. So it's been a great process, and I would encourage other organizations out there or people, just community members who might be interested in participating in the process. As Ellen said, we're working on which assessment?
The local public health system assessment.
And there's the next meeting is on April 5th, and during that meeting there'll be three questionnaires that people can answer that will deal with health education, health promotion, coalitions, policy development in our community. So all those topics will be part of the questionnaire process during that meeting. And we meet at the Public Health Center generally, right?
Right. It's if you don't know where the Juneau Public Health Center is, it's right across from the Twin Lakes parking lot. And if anybody has questions, they can call us at 465-3353. And any of the nurses should be able to help you out, myself. Masayo Nishiyama, Ellen Moore, there's a group of us there that are working on different aspects of the project.
And one of the other things that I did want to mention, too, is that some of the assessments that we've already done through this process have yielded some information like this 2012 Juneau Community Health Profile. And it looks at how healthy our residents are and what does the health status of our community look like. And then there's also some of these different strengths and areas for growth on our blog. And if you Googled Partnership for a Healthier Juneau, you'd find our blog and a lot of this information there, as well as information about upcoming meetings.
Good.
Yeah, and I forgot to bring up the blog, but I think that's a great resource. I look at it, and I think as I've been involved in this process, I've become more excited and more interested in it, because I think Juneau has a lot to offer, but I think we can improve on things, and I think this is a good process to do that.
Right, and right now we've had over 50 different organizations involved in the process, and we want more community involvement as much as we possibly can have. So if you're an individual community member or you're part of an organization and you feel that your organization has some connection to the health of our community, which most people do, please seek out our blog or give a call to Public Health to learn more.
And that phone number one more time, please.
465-3353.
Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Well, we did all the talking, so I think we managed to cover it all. Thanks, Jeff.
You did a great job. Ellen Daly and Beth Weigel, thank you for coming by the station and talking about healthy Juneau.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Rice and grain, 6 servings a day. You eat them fancy or plain.
Kathy Fink and Marcy Markser. Time is 3:39. You are tuned to KTLO FM in Juneau here on the Juneau Afternoon. Well, speaking of food, we're going to talk about chili next with Angela Gowdy and Carol Mahara from the Capital City Rotary Act organization. It's this Friday at 6 o'clock at the Rendezvous. Angela and Carol, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's great to be here.
So tell us first about Capital City Rotary Act, if you could, please.
Capital City Rotaract is a group of young professionals, ages 18 to 30. We are a part of Rotary and Rotary International. We do a lot of fundraising, and we volunteer for nonprofit organizations like us who need help.
What kind of things do you do as far as projects goes?
We do our annual Oktoberfest for Breasts to support breast cancer awareness, really. It gives money to Cancer Connection here in Juneau, a local organization that helps people travel to Seattle for their treatments. We do this chili cook-off annually to help ShelterBox. So far, the past 2 years has been for ShelterBox, I believe. And
we've got Roller Prom coming up here soon, too. We're still working on the details for that, but that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we usually do adult prom.
Yeah, it's been adult prom in the past. But this year we're teaming up with the Juno Roller Girls, so it should be a blast. But yeah, that's soon to come, but we're definitely getting excited about this Friday and our chili cook-off, calling for people to bring in chili recipes and see how their recipe competes against other Juno recipes.
Mm-hmm. And how do you judge?
We've got a panel of four judges. Would you like to name
them? We've got Andy Klein. He'll be the MC as well. Also, Colette Costa will be there, Deb Berry from The Rendezvous, and John Pugh, who's the chancellor at UAS. So those will be our judges, and they'll be the ones that will be sampling all the different chilies and deciding who the winners will be. And while we're there, too, we'll also have some door prizes. So our door prizes are going to be provided by our wonderful sponsors, who are Alan Marine, the Red Onion Spice and Tea, the Hangar and the Rookery, Nugget Alaska Outfitters will be there, Southeast Industrial Services, and Tensco Helicopters will be giving our door prizes. So that will be awesome, too.
You mentioned Andy Klein, and I know for a fact that today is Andy Klein's 48th birthday.
Oh, my
goodness.
Really? We'll have to make sure to say something to him when we see him. So awesome.
So this is the second or third year you've done the Chili Fest.
This is our third year.
About how many chilies are you expecting?
So far, we've got about 20 people signed up. We are taking contestants who comply with the new DEC regulations. The food safety regulations require that people fill out a cooling log if they cook their chili ahead of time. So far we've got 20 people that we know are coming, and if more people come, they have to cook their chili the same day and then bring it right after they cook it.
Will the public be able to eat the chilies?
Yes. Yes, they just have to. They have to sign something that says they understand that the chili was not cooked in an approved industrial kitchen, like one in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And so it starts at 6 p.m. at the Rendezvous downtown Juneau.
Right, and if people want to submit a chili, they should call Angela, and she can fill them in on all of this food service information that they need to know, so that way we can keep everything. Everything's square. So, Angela, do you want to give them your phone number?
Oh, yeah, sure. You can get a hold of me at 789-1873, or you can email me at junorotaractors@gmail.com.
Sounds like a fun event. I know Andy's had some good things to say about it.
Yeah, and it'll be $5 at the door. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Right, for 21 and up, they got to be 21 and up. And, it should be a good time. Starts at 6 o'clock at the Rendezvous.
And Carol Mahara and Angela Gowdy, anything you'd like to talk about that I forgot to mention?
Let's look over our bullet points.
I think that's it, but we will, the money from this, we're going to try to raise money for shelter boxes, which I think we already talked about a little bit, but these shelter boxes are pretty awesome. They're $1,000 each, and inside each one there's like a tent and essential living supplies that go out to disaster victims. So shelter boxes have gone out to the tsunami victims. They had some out at Hurricane Katrina to help those people out. So we don't exactly know where our box will go. It just depends on where ShelterBox sees the need at the time. But we can track where our shelter boxes go. So we're going to see, like I said, they're $1,000 each. So we're going to see how many we can fundraise for at the Chili Cook-Off.
That starts at 6 o'clock this Friday at the Rendezvous.
6 o'clock this Friday.
Tickets are available at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Patty Horn, the time is 3:47, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. And one thing I've been assured that is not that chilly up at Eagle Crest. Jeffrey Clow and Matt Lillard are here to talk about what it is up there on top of the mountain. Thank you for coming down.
Hey, thanks for having us this afternoon, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
So what's the situation up at Eagle Crest these days?
Well, I think we're going on day maybe 10 or 11 of some great sunny to partly sunny skies and warmer temps, and we haven't been skiing the past 2 days, but we're ready to get back at it tomorrow on some softer conditions, and skiing is still phenomenal. There's an amazing amount of snow up on the hill, and looking forward to wrapping up the season in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Jeff, we only have 9 days left of the season, amazingly enough.
How many inches of snow are up there now?
Oh, we've got 164 inches at the top, and didn't look at the base. I'm sure it's kind of gone down with these warm temperatures.
Over 10 feet.
How was spring break?
Spring break, the weather was phenomenal, bright sunny skies, crisp days, and we had a good amount of people up there. I think next year we'll try to get more up there, but lots of kids enjoying their week off from school and parents and coming up and everybody skiing and riding. So it was a great time.
All right, and do you have any upcoming activities?
Yeah, we do. On Easter, of course, is coming up, and it is on April 8th, Sunday, April 8th, and we're going to have our annual Easter celebration at the mountain, and the events include an all-mountain Easter egg hunt, and we're going to have a kids' Easter egg hunt on the porcupine chair, some bunny chases, a bunny toss, and a bonnet costume contest. So it'll be a great time, a great celebration of Easter and springtime, and the purple bunny will be bounding all around the mountain.
What other activities are planned for the end of the year?
End of the year, the big event planned for the end of the year is the annual Slush Cup, which is on Saturday, April 14th. And that is, of course, a great event that we didn't have last year, and everybody is looking forward to having it again this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great way to wrap up the season, Easter Sunday, and then the Slush Cup on the 14th. So we're looking forward to having a great springtime.
Go ahead.
And one thing, now that we're winding into April, that we wanted to mention was that we're going to have a little bit of a schedule change. We're open Thursday through Sunday this coming weekend, and then closed Monday through Thursday, and then open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then closed during the midweek, and then open for the final weekend of the season, which is April 14th and 15th. And you can find all that information, as well as the information on Easter and the Slush Cup, on our website at skijuno.com. And you can also find us on Facebook.
Record-breaking snowfall, and a lot of people have, but you know how many people have been using the mountain?
Well, we're I think we're definitely getting up into record territory as far as the number of people up on the mountain, and I think well north of 50,000 people by the time the season's out. So it's been great. We've seen lots of new faces, lots of returning faces, and it's just been a fantastic year.
And there's still time. It's great conditions and great weather to learn how to ski and snowboard. So what I'm encouraging everybody, if you were thinking, oh, man, this season I really wanted to learn how to ski or I learned how to snowboard and I don't have time, yes, you do have time. There's plenty of time. Just give us a call at the mountain. You can call the Snow Sports School at 790-2000, extension 211, and make a reservation. But there's plenty of time to get up there and learn how to ski or learn how to snowboard.
And if you had a good time this season or are thinking about next season, you also want to do thinking about long-term planning.
Yes, the master plan meeting for the draft comments is this evening at 6:30 in Assembly Chambers.
That's correct. This evening in Assembly Chambers from 6:30 to 8:30. If you've got a chance to check out the draft copy of the master plan, come on by and tell us what you think. We'd love to hear your comments. After all, the big part of the plan is what the public wants to see out of Eagle Crest. So come on by and let us know your thoughts.
And you can find that draft master plan on our website at skijuno.com. And if you're not available to submit your comments at the public meeting this evening, they are taking written comments through Friday, March 30th. So, and all that information is on our website.
Anything in particular bringing attention to in the long-range plan?
Well, tonight is mainly to get feedback from the people of Juneau. But there's lots of great ideas in there about as far as what we can do up on the mountain in the summer as far as hiking and biking possibilities and other things we can look at for the winter. So we're interested in seeing what everybody has to say.
I think one of the things that I've seen come out of the comments for the master plan is how many people truly do believe that Eagle Crest is an amazing asset for the city. And I think those of us that spend our winters up there and our summers up there recognize the value of Eagle Crest, and it's very important. So we do want to hear from everybody out there in the community.
What kind of plans do you have to do for the mountain this summer?
This summer we've got some mountain operations projects plans. We're working on the list a little bit here and there, as well as some trail conditioning. And looking forward to getting the crews out on the mountain, and we're going to be looking at the Hooter lift a little bit and changing some things up there, as well as working on trails more and possibly getting into some gladed areas and widening open some tree runs for everybody to enjoy next winter.
All right, but there's still time to go skiing or snowboarding or cross-country skiing this season?
Oh, definitely. Lots of time. 9 more days. So you can, even if you're a first-time skier or snowboarder, there's still plenty of time to be an accomplished skier or snowboarder by the end of the season.
Jennifer Crow and Matt Lillard, thank you for coming to the weather station. Anything you'd like to add, I might have forgotten to ask?
Just again to remind people to go to our website at skijuno.com to find all the information or like us on Facebook.
All right, thanks for coming by and have a good season.
All right, thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
great week of local music and festivities. Take part in the upcoming 38th Annual Alaska Folk Festival, April 9th through the 15th. The festivities will air live in its entirety on KRNN 102.7 FM with streaming on krnn.org. That's live coverage of the Alaska Folk Festival starting at 7 p.m. each evening and noon on the weekend.
The live KRNN broadcast is sponsored in part by SEAC, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, and Chatham Electric.
Time is 3:59. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tune to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220BT serves Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on DCI Cable Juneau at Digital Channel 871. We're also live online at www.ktoo.org. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain in the evening. Low temperatures around 35 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain. Coming up next, a special NPR program about the Supreme Court deliberations about Obama's health care bills, legislation that's coming up live at 4 o'clock.